Welcome to the Real Presence, Real Future podcast, a podcast dedicated to increasing the presence of Christ throughout the Diocese of Columbus through the values of boldness, collaboration, joy, humility, and active listening. I'm Father Mike Harchie, and today my guest again is Father Dave Sizemore. Father Dave, thanks for being with me.
It's great being here.
Father Dave was one of our regional Episcopal vicars and pastor of Newark St. Francis, so it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Can you start us off with our prayer for mission renewal?
Absolutely. Let's do it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, our Father, we entrust Real Presence, Real Future to your providence. Through your Holy Spirit, inspire us for mission and evangelization. Make us disciples after the heart of your Son. In times of uncertainty, grant firm resolve. When we are unsettled, provide peace. When we are timid, make us courageous. With our ears, may we hear your promptings. With our eyes, may we see your handiwork. With our mouths, may we share the gospel. And with our hands, may we serve you. Replace our hesitation with holy enthusiasm, so that in drawing strength from the Eucharist, every endeavor of ours may be for your glory. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Thanks, Father Dave. So obviously, like we said in the little intro, that this is a podcast for everything about Real Presence, Real Future, increasing the presence of Christ and everything like that. And now the models and things like that are certainly on the front of people's minds as we're in this like second round of draft models and getting people's responses and things to that. But in some of these things, so I'm reading a lot of feedback from people, not from the surveys yet, but from like a lot of emails that we get. And, you know, something that's of concern to people is like helping our priests with their time, with running parishes and schools and stuff. So they see this like in the models, if we have to, you know, constrict maybe our footprint and things like that, where's the lay leadership? This is kind of a thing for a theme for them, and rightly so. So where's the lay leadership? How are we supporting them in that? You've done a good job in parishes that you've been at, like at St. John Newman in Sunbury and now at St. Francis de Sales, of like building a leadership team. Mm-hmm. Now, every priest is different. They're not going to do it the same way that you do it. You found some success there, but like how have you gone about that?
Yeah, I went about it out of necessity, you know, just like you're hearing in these emails and responses of the laity is a concern for my ability not just to survive as a pastor in a parish, but to thrive and to be an agent of helping my parishioners thrive in the faith and not being bottlenecked by my own time or talent or imagination, my own availability, my own skills, my own energy level, you know, yeah. But rather not be a bottleneck at all and share in a kind of distributive model, a distributive leadership model with a group of laity that will help me run the parish so that so much then more can be going on and people can grow in a variety of ways because there's a variety of leaders that come alongside of me as a pastor and help me run the parish together.
So thank you. That's a perfect description. And I'm curious. So what did it look like if you would share a little bit, what did it look like when you kind of realized maybe you're just like surviving instead of thriving? Was there a moment like a series of things that you made you realize that, yeah, these things were bottlenecking in your schedule?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, what did it look like?
I remember distinctly in the around the fall, maybe October of my first year at St. Francis de Sales, I was having a conversation with a priest who's a mentor, and I said, I am seriously contemplating leaving the priesthood here in the Diocese of Columbus and becoming a monk and spending the final 20 years of my priesthood in silence in a monastery. And he laughed and stuff. And I said, I'm actually pretty serious about this, you know. And so it was one of those kind of moments, you know, just when I was speaking out loud to another priest where I thought, I'm in trouble, you know.
Yeah.
And so from there, the Lord just, started bringing back to me some of the things we had done at St. John Newman, my previous assignment as a pastor. But then it ended up being very, very different in the way that we implemented it in another parish because it's a different parish, you know. But anyways, that was one of those moments where I said, I need to bring a lot of people alongside of me and really empower them and trust them and entrust to them the ministry of the parish, both administrative, pastorally, and also, of course, you know, as their teaching, so as evangelists and catechists and so on. And the bottom line is when I first got there was probably about 10 staff members or whatever, and now we have 43 staff members in a parish that probably has about 900 or so people coming to Mass on a weekend. Of those 43, there is 9 of us that are on the leadership team. And that leadership team then, some of them are administrators and some of them are, you know, in ministry. Really from week to week, they help me run the day-to-day operations. They help me put together the strategic plan. They helped me in the beginning formulate a mission that God wants for our parish, a vision of how to do that. Every year we kind of create a theme for that year and put everything behind that theme. And then we run everything for our mission, everything for our vision. And then off they go helping to oversee all the rest of the staff. So literally as a pastor, all I'm doing is investing in 8 other people, and then they invest in everybody else.
So do you think – that's awesome. Like, do you think that gives you – and it really seems like this I don't know, vision for the future is the right word or something, but certainly we talk about that and you know, with the relation of how Jesus brought these 12 apostles, you know, along with them and kind of like invested in them, and they were able to like – exponentially make this church, you know, grow after the, you know, after the resurrection and everything. So, I mean, when somebody hears something like that, does he find, I mean, does it, people might be concerned, does it take time away from the parish? Even like me, like just like hearing that, you know, I guess that people might be concerned. I might be, you know, interested to know, like, does that take time away from the parish, like, or is that your time in the parish? So you're investing in these people. What is that? What does that look like?
What it has done is freed me to be a priest. You know, so I now have time for pastoral meetings with my parishioners, in all shapes and sizes and varieties of pastoral meetings. You know, all their needs and their desires and their visions, you know, for what our parish could be. I can be a part of those meetings. I can spend time in a variety of settings in ministry with people. I'm able now to spend time in the school and in RCIA and in PSR and in youth ministry. I'm able to enjoy the liturgies, you know, as the celebrant, rather than, you know, concerned about the servers or the music or the ushers. Did they remember to, you know, hand out this book or do whatever it is that's going on? I'm able to do all of that because everything else is being taken care of by the laity.
That sounds like what I think a lot of priests would love in theory. I think guys would not know how, and again, myself included, how to like put that in place. So with Jessica, we have a few minutes left in this like little time block, I guess, but
I could talk about a little bit of that.
How can guys do that? Is there stuff out there to help them with that?
Yeah, absolutely there is. So one of the things that is coming up is Divine Renovation.
Okay.
And they're having a conference here in the United States in Texas, and it's going to be in July, okay? And a couple guys in my region have reached out to me. They want to create a leadership team.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, they'll teach you how to do it, you know, this Divine Renovation USA conference. And so I reach out to them, and they're on board. They want to identify, you know, 3 or 4 people that could be potential leadership members, and I'm going to help them do that. I talked to the Catholic Foundation. They're interested in supporting priests and supporting laity becoming, you know, alongside of priests, leaders of the parish. So they're going to fund their trip down there and their stay there and the registration fee and all that kind of stuff. Then I was talking to Liz Christie, who helps Father Adam Streitenberger run the Office of Evangelization, and she's working with about 20 priests who are also open and hungry for better ways to run their parish and to evangelize their parishioners. So she's going to reach out to them, and if let's say there's 5 or 6 or 7 more of them, then I'll work with them to send them down to the conference, and then maybe we'll create 4 or 5 after steps, you know, like, okay, now that you have the idea, let's help you put together a leadership team, and then let's also help you put together 2 or 3 steps over your first year of implementing a discipleship culture, which, by the way, Divine Renovation helps you with that lockstep program, you know. So I'm just giving one example of how I benefited from that, you know, because I went up to Canada for that conference.
I was going
to
ask if you did.
Yeah, I came back and put together a leadership team, and with them we put together an evangelization plan. And from that, we were able to help people grow in the faith. And from that, people started stepping up and saying, I want to be a part of this mission. And from that, we grew our staff from, you know, 10 to about 43 people.
And when Dave, and Father Dave, when you say like growing your staff too, it was like some people might say, oh, well, it's just like, you know, increasing these people who work for the church. But really what you, I mean, and that partly is partly true, but you're increasing your disciples.
Yeah.
Like, because all these people are being discipled along the
way. You're increasing your disciple makers. So you're not, as the priest, the only disciple maker.
And we can't be.
No,
we got to have these other people who,
no.
And we've seen a desire for that through the Disciple Maker Index and everything, and that's only going to help us in our mission and our ministry and really what the whole call, baptism call of the laity is. So thank you for that. It's really inspiring, and I look forward to, those future fruits whenever we can harvest them.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Father Dave.
You're welcome.